Thank you for taking the time to listen to this CD. You may hear some things that challenge your thinking, challenge your understanding of the Scripture, but also encourage you and edify you. In Acts chapter 17, the Scripture speaks of the noble Bereans who received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. My prayer today is that your nobleness and hunger for God will be stimulated through this Free Food for the Soul CD. Now, let's have some free food for the soul.
Come down, even if to rise. worship the Lord. Praise God.
Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 22. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 22. Let's look into the word of the Lord for a little while today. Amen. Very sweet spirit in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 22, and reading out of the NIV. If you would put that up, Brother Tayo. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and you do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Notice verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, and what is more, that it is the third day since all this took place." And perhaps Brother Etienne could come and pray and ask the blessing of the Lord. I want to preach to you for a little while about dealing with disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. Amen. Brother Etienne, would you pray?
God, we thank you, Lord, for being here today, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless you, Lord, to give you wisdom for us to understand you, Lord, to take it with us at home, everywhere we are going, Lord, because it's our food, spiritual food. Lord God, bless our pastor. Bless every one of us in this house to take the word and then, Lord, keep the word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you can be seated. Almost immediately after Jesus was resurrected, he joined two of his followers walking down the Emmaus Road. If you noticed the terminology that they used, they were shattered. Their hope was gone. Hopes were dashed. They had quite a picture of Jesus that Jesus didn't live up to. A lot of people have a thinking about God that this is the way it ought to be, and this is what these people thought. Scripture said that in the 21st verse, we had hope that he was the one that was going to redeem us. He was going to come as the king, and he was going to take over and defeat the Roman army. It doesn't say that there, but that was what their hopes were. They were hoping for a redeemer that would come with a sword, a redeemer that would come with an army and save them from the occupations and the problems that the children of Israel had back then. They were very disappointed because in their understanding of the scripture, Jesus didn't live up to what they understood was going to happen. And it seems like ever since that time that both the followers of Christ and also the skeptics. Have you read anything from the skeptics? You see the billboards, you see the writings about a useless God, a,
vindictive God. They have no understanding of Jesus Christ. There's many people in this life. They have very little. They may call themselves children of God, but they have very little understanding of what Jesus is really like. And these kind of people find reasons to be disappointed with the Lord. They had hoped, as we read in 24 and 21, that Jesus would be that Redeemer. He would be that one to deliver them from the oppression of the godless and the ruthless pagans. But he didn't. And all that Moses and the prophets and the writings that said about him were false. At least that's what they thought, because they had a massive understanding of what the scriptures said was going to happen. Even the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19 lets us understand, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Hope is a powerful drive. You say, well, how could the Apostle Paul said if we had no hope, the only hope we had was Christ? Because we have the hope of a resurrection. We have the hope that one day things are going to be different. Amen. We have a hope in the power of the Lord. But hope is a powerful drive, is it not? If you've ever lost your hope, it's not a very nice place to be. Hope keeps a person going despite what their circumstances look like. And my wife sings that song, and maybe she'll sing it for us as we close out the preaching of the word of the Lord, that I have hope when troubles come my way. Amen. Hope is a great thing. It promises that bad times won't last, and good times, they're going to come again. Amen. If you've ever been in disappointment, disappointment is not a fun place to be. When things are not going right, it's a horrible place to be. And for the child of God, the only thing that you can do is hang on to your hope. And we all need hope, do we not? But when it seems like hope is continually without basis, it has the effect of making a person's heart sick. I've trusted in you, God. I've walked with you, Lord. Proverbs 13 and 12 from the NIV tells us hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. I don't know if you've ever been in the place where you've had constant disappointment, where you've had constant problems, and it seems like hope has been dashed time and time again. Something happens when that hope is fulfilled. I've been in both places. I'm in the place now where I've got a few disappointments in my life. Some things are happening that I don't care for. But I've also been in the place where I have seen God come through with hope, bring things to pass, change things in my life, and I know that God is able to do it again. Amen? Just as these earlier followers of the Lord were disappointed with Jesus, so too are some today, and many people today, they're similarly disappointed with the Christ of the Bible. They are told that God is an all-powerful, good, and loving God, and that he hates evil, and it's true. They then experience the loss of a loved one through tragedy. Has anybody ever done that? It was 10, 11 years, 3 months, and 19 days ago, I got a phone call in the middle of the night that there had been a tragic accident, and my brother's wife and children were killed. And he was going to die himself. I know what it's like to sit there and say, God, how could this happen? How could an all-loving God allow your hopes to be dashed? And then the accusations come that perhaps he is neither all-powerful nor very good, and perhaps not even loving. And the real problem is Bible illiteracy. is rampant in our society. People don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand Jesus. There was a time in Western culture when people were very familiar with the Bible and its language. It wasn't a big deal to read the Word of God. We talk about the King James Version. It wasn't a big deal. All these new translations that we have come up with have been since I have been a child, because people are not that into the Word of God as they used to be, and they look at it and they say it takes too much thinking. And some of the translations are good, some of them are not. Some of them are good for people that come from other countries, because you have a limited grasp of English, and to understand the King James English is even more difficult. I understand that. But we still use the King James as a basis, and where there's an argument, where there's a translation that doesn't match, we use the King James Version as the text of authority, just simply because of the text that it's based upon. But the language of the Bible once punctuated our own language. Have you ever heard the term? Now, I know some of you have not been in this country for years like I have, but they used to talk about going the extra mile. Anybody ever heard that term? Going the extra mile. That's a Bible term. Amen. Draw the short straw. They crucified him. There's many different things that we can talk about. And those punctuations actually come out of the Word of God. Drawing the short straw came from when the disciples had lost Judas, and they voted on Matthias by straws. But as such, it was more likely that years ago, even to the point where I was just a child, so that's not, I mean, you, some of you folks may think I'm the Ancient of Days, but I'm not that old. Amen? It wasn't very long ago where people were acquainted with the Word of God. But something shifted since I was a child. Something shifted in the latter part of the 20th century with the rise of perhaps some superstar TV crusade preachers. The message of Jesus in the gospel became almost a competition to see who could present the latest revelation on how to get more power, how to get more victory, how to get more anointing in Jesus. They kind of sidestep some of the things that the Word of the Lord talks about. And they almost bring you to the place where if you just pray this certain prayer, if you just say these certain words, everything's going to be all right. They forget about sacrifice. They forget about faithfulness to God. They forget about taking up your cross. They plead to the masses. Some of these preachers have claimed that they receive special revelation, and if their followers would receive and apply their own special revelation, they could live above poverty. They could live above sickness. They could live above sadness and receive a pseudo-psychic insight into the future, and everything's going to be okay if you'll just receive what I've got. That's what you're told. The only thing that I've got like that is found in the Word of God. Amen. Like I said, just know the key phrases. Maybe even pray at the right time. Or pray for an exact amount of time. Or the greatest one is sow your seed into the ministry. Just sow a little seed. You know what? The Bible says be faithful to God. Amen. That person that is faithful in little would be made master of much. Sometimes the Lord will instruct you, and He will say, do something like that. But that's not a, it's not a method. It's an obedience to God. Some people will take, and they'll say, well, I got my little seed here. I'm going to see if it'll grow over here. What they're doing is they're treating God like an ATM. Let me see if I put my 20 in here, if I'll get 100 back or 1,000 back. Amen. The understanding of the things of God has been a little bit twisted. But let me tell you something disappointing to you. I'm going to disappoint you today. You can live right. You can walk uprightly. You can walk honestly before God, and things can still happen in your life that you're not happy with. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 tells us, in Matthew 5 and 43 tells us that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on evil and on good. And he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Some people are troubled by that. How could God let it rain on the unjust and the just? How can goodness rise upon both the evil and the good? He said the sun is going to rise on both the good and the evil. The rain is going to fall on both the just and the unjust. If you have trouble with that, and you have trouble understanding that, you're not the only one in history that has problems with that. If you go to the book of Psalms, the 73rd chapter, and we're looking at the NIV in verses 2 and 3. Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3, it says that David was troubled. King David, the writer of the psalm, said, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." That's troubling sometimes. You can read down a little bit through the 15th verse, and we're not going to take the time to read all of that, but some of his complaints were, they're free from the burdens that are common to man. It seems like they've got no struggles, Lord. You ever wonder about that? See somebody goes, and I remember a guy when I was working, before I was pastoring the church full time, and he was always into Apple stock. Everybody thought Apple was going to crash and burn at one point. Boy, I wish I had some Apple stock now that he had back then for about $9 a share. And he probably had 5,000 shares. He probably got $3 million, $4 million now. And I went to his home, and this was not a Christian man. And today, if he sold his stock, if he kept it, and he's got no struggles, he's got some money in the bank, things are looking good for him. God, why couldn't you tell me about Apple 12 years ago? Think about it. David complained, their bodies are more healthy than ours. And one of the things that it says that they lay claim to heaven. What does that mean? They're sitting there singing, "I'm saved and I'm so glad about it," and they're living like the devil, living wickedly. You ever see people like that? Can I get a witness? You're looking at them saying, "Man, if they're saved, I don't want to go to heaven." Amen. He said, he complained to God. He said, "It's in vain that I keep my heart pure. Why should I keep my heart pure? Why should I keep my heart right? And these people that are wicked are prospering, God." He was disappointed. He even said, if you read down there, "I'm punished every day." Have you ever felt like that? God, why am I even living for you? God, why do I even bother? I pray sometimes and nothing happens, God. Why, Lord? We can allow ourselves to let the disappointments of life make us like David when he said, "My feet, if my back wasn't so messed up, I would slip and fall. I'm afraid I'll hurt myself." He said, "My feet almost slipped because I couldn't understand it. I couldn't take it. I almost lost, Lord, my salvation." Some other versions use the word discerned in what I'm going to read. Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17 from the King James Version. And I In this one, I prefer the King James because of the translation. It says, when I thought to know this, Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until, everybody say until, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Where are you today? You're in the sanctuary. This is the place where we gather together to meet with the Lord. Sure, we can meet with Him in prayer. We can fast and touch the Lord. But there's something special that happens when you come into the sanctuary. There's something that happens when you come into the presence of the Lord, when you're not off by yourself, but when you gather together with God's people. And He said, when I came into that sanctuary, then I understood. Then I had discernment. Then I perceived what was happening. So you see, you cannot underestimate the power of being in the sanctuary. Because when you come into the presence of God, how many of you feel like you come into the house of the Lord, you come in and you're troubled, and all of a sudden everything clears up? Come on, can I have a witness? You walk out these doors, Monday morning, you wake up and you say, it just doesn't look very clear right now. Come on. Somebody give me a witness. We go out of the sanctuary. What happens? We're bombarded with doubt. We're bombarded with fear. What does the Bible say about fear? I preached on fear just a few weeks ago. It says fear has torment. Now, we're not talking about the fear in the respect of God. We're talking about the fear the devil gives you and the fear that comes with this life. Jesus has no torment. And when you come into the house of the Lord, you sit under the anointed preaching. All of a sudden, you begin to feel better. And you begin to feel like, man, everything's going to work out. I kind of see what's happening now. I see what the devil is throwing at me. I see what my problems are coming at me, why they're happening to me. But you go out the house of the Lord. You're bombarded with doubt. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't seem so clear. It just doesn't seem like when you were in the sanctuary, it was all just crystal, and it was all like, God is with me and God's going to help me. Things are going to get better. My hope is there, and I know that God is with me. He has not forsaken me. Walk out the door. It's not the same. Disappointments come to us in many varied ways. Let me name a few current ways. It might be a family member, perhaps a spouse or child, that has chosen a path that hurts you very badly. You've prayed, you've fasted, and it seems like they just are not hearing God. You've bombarded heaven and you said, Lord, you got to touch them. And it seems like they're just going on their merry way, just like the people that David was complaining about in Psalm 73. It might be a financial or a job problem. I'll tell you something. Financial problems with pressures hanging over your head can take a toll on your mind. Wondering if God is ever going to provide. Are you really Jehovah Jireh? Are you really the Lord my provider? Then why do I struggle? Why do I go through these things? Don't you want me to be happy, God? See, we've got some misunderstanding because the Bible tells us about some trials that God will let come our way, and they are for our good. How about Jesus told us to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come? And it seems like no one is listening. No one is heeding the word. You ever feel like that? Where's one of them CDs we got? And if anybody, of course, any of these CDs back here, the preaching, the free food for the soul, you're welcome. You're welcome to these things. Why do we do that? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want your faith built up? Listen to the word of God. Amen. How many of you have gone up to people and said, I want you to listen to something? They don't want to bother. No, I don't want to hear it. What are you, some kind of religious fanatic? and get discouraged. We can let things get to us. But like I said, I found these things amazing. We've put tracks out various times for years. Nobody takes them. But you put a CD out. You don't know where it's going, but somebody's taking the Word of God. Maybe it's going to be in a time of discouragement. See, the devil will come to you and tell you, you just might as well give up because nothing's ever going to happen. Isn't that what happens? You know, Job had some similar problems when he expressed the writing in Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. And bring up the King James Version, if you would. Job 23, verses 8 through 10, he said, "Behold, I go forth." You want to talk about somebody that had problems? You know, I was thinking, you know, some of you know one of where my boys are not living for God like they should. Amen. Very disappointing to me. And I was thinking about it in my office this morning. And the Lord kind of nudged me a little bit. What about those guys, their fathers backslid? I know some preachers like that. Their fathers walked away from God. Think you got problems? How about if your daddy walked away from the Lord?
I hope you are enjoying today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block from Town Hall. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. Now, let's get back to the remainder of today's message from Free Food for the Soul.
That just shook me a little bit. My problems are nothing compared to that because I'm their inspiration. I'm the one that they'll be able to look at and say, my daddy was a rock even when I was an idiot. My father held on to God. But what do you do when your father doesn't even hold on to God? Amen. But Job in was going through his trials, and if, like I said, if you think you got problems, read the book of Job. That man had problems. Not only did he have problems, he had four men come to encourage him, and with friends like that, who needs the devil? Amen. What does it say? He said, in his despair, he said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backwards, and I cannot perceive him." Go to the 9th verse and just leave it there for a few minutes. On the left hand, where he works, notice this. Job knows God's working. He just can't see it. You ever feel like that? You come into the house of the Lord, the clarity is there, God's speaking to you. He's telling you, I'm working on this problem. And you're like, I know you're working on it, God, but I can't see it. If you go to the 10th verse, Job expressed his faith. He said, I've got questions, I've got doubts, kind of. I don't know where God is, I don't know how he's working, but I do know one thing. He knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The one scripture that I forgot to write down, I believe, is 1 Peter chapter 1. And somebody say, praise the Lord. And the 6th verse, or the 5th verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, says you're kept by the power of God through what? Through doubt. We're kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. You're kept by the power of God through faith. What does that mean? when you can't see God on the left working, when you can't see him on the right working, what do? You say, I might as well just give up. I know he's working, but I can't see it. I might as well just forget it. No. You just stand on faith. You say, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It doesn't look like anything is going to change. He says, you're kept by faith. Not by saying, I don't believe that God has the ability to do anything, that I might as well just give up and go under a rock and die. It just says that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to believe God. It doesn't matter what my circumstances look like. It doesn't matter what people are doing, because I am kept by faith. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what? Some of the things we go through, it's not that God is not working. It's not that he's forgotten about us, but he's doing something to accomplish something in our life. He didn't create these situations, but God will let these situations work a little while before he chooses to change them, because he's got something he wants to accomplish inside of you. It's called the trial of your faith. Hope this is all right today. I know it's all right. Hallelujah. Just because Job didn't recognize the working of God, it did not mean that God was not working. The scripture we opened with talked about some guys that were walking along. Jesus walks up there and they express their disappointment. How it's just, they're so disappointed because Jesus died. He was going to be our Savior. And now he's gone. It's the third day. Nothing's happening. Let me tell you something. Jesus is evidence that your hope just might be killed, only to come resurrected by the power of God. Don't despair if your hope is destroyed, because we've got to serve a God that has the power to resurrect hope. He's got the power, even though the hope is dead, to change things. When you're in disappointment, though, isn't it hard to see Jesus walking with you? Disappointment has a crushing way of destroying hope if you let it. If you let it. Let's go a little bit further in our text scripture to Luke chapter 24, verses 22 through 32. And I won't be very long after that, hopefully. You know, everybody says, I want to have apostolic church. Well, the Apostle Paul had a guy, he fell asleep, fell down, broke his neck, and they had to resurrect him from the dead. Do you really want to have apostolic church? Have the preacher preach so long time, bore you to death, you fall asleep, fall down, break your neck? Hallelujah. Wonder if you ever thought about that. Luke chapter 24, verses 22 through 24 at the moment. In addition, some of our women amazed us. I want you to catch their frame of mind. You're walking with Jesus, telling them how disappointed they are. Nothing's happened. He's not resurrected. You know, we're all going to die. We might as well give up. Chicken Little's coming, saying, you know, that spirit of fear that comes on people. In addition, some of our own women amazed us. They went out to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just like the woman told us, but him they did not see. You see what was happening here? They were getting reports that Jesus was resurrected. They're still saying, but he's gone. They're getting a little glimpse, saying, I see a miracle beginning to happen. Instead of sitting there saying, you know what? I've got some hope inside of me. They sit there and let doubt get a hold of them. 25th verse. He said unto them, how foolish are you, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not Christ have to suffer these things, then enter into his glory, according to the scripture, where it talks about some trials we're going to go through. We're going to have to suffer some things. When God, you are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name, he did not promise you, as the song says, I never promised you a rose garden. The Christian life is not a life of ease. It's a life of serving the Lord. It's a life of troubles and trials. But through his blood, we can be overcome. Through his blood, we can overcome. And through the word of our testimony, the scripture says we're made overcomers. In the heat of the moment, when things are really wrong, we've got a friend that we can lean on, and he can, and he does answer prayer. See, the difference between the person that has not God and the person that has the Lord, it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. We're all going to have troubles. We're all going to have trials. But we've got a God that we can go to, and we can, instead of going and getting Prozac and all the rest of that stuff, we can go to the Lord in prayer. What's that song we sing? It says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Amen. You can go to the Lord in prayer. You can seek his face. You can feel that clarity when you come into the sanctuary. When you're living a life and you're not serving God, you're not in the sanctuary. You're not coming into the place where everything's a little bit clear. Some of you are getting some clarity right now. You're feeling the presence of the Lord. God is speaking to you about some stuff. They don't have that. Jesus began to chide them about their unbelief, but they still could not see that it was him. Go to the 28th verse. And they approached the village to which they were going. And Jesus acted if he were going farther. They urged him strongly and said, stay with us, for it's almost evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. They felt that something caused them to want to stay in his presence. They didn't see him working on their life. They were walking with him. They didn't know it was him. Yet there was something that said, I want to stay in your presence. You know, some of the things I preach, you feel it. But you don't see results yet. But there's something that keeps you coming back. What is it? Go to the 30th verse. But he was at the table with them, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture? We sing that song, don't we? I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place, and my heart burns within me. I feel Jesus in this place. Even when they didn't recognize him, they felt that burning. Even though they were in the midst of disappointment, they still felt it. Even though they had already given up, they weren't ready, they gave up. They were like, he's gone. Yet they felt that burning. Some of us are doing a lot of outreach. We're passing out our CDs all over the place now, have been doing it since the beginning of the year. They're being taken to laundromats. Personal witnessing, folks giving them out, listen to the word of God, bus stops, train stations, telephone poles, stop signs. But we're not seeing much results. What's happening? What's happening is God is working on the left where we can't see him. Don't you think nothing is happening? Don't you think that God is not working? He's just working in that place that we can't see. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. I've got the word of God to back up what I'm saying now. He said, cast your bread upon the waters, and thou shalt what? You're going to find it. After what? After many days. Amen. We've been casting some bread out, taking the bread of the Word of God. Say, well, that's just a CD. It's a listening tool here. People can pop it in their house. People can put it in their car. And we're casting our bread upon the water. We're not asking for money. We're not asking for people to buy these things. We're just casting our bread upon the water. The Word of God, God is not a liar. Amen. God is not a liar. Does anybody believe that? He is not a liar. You know what the Word of the Lord says in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth. What's on these CDs? The Word of God. Amen. Maybe we got a song or two stuck in there somewhere. But the Word of God is in there. What does the Bible say? So shall the word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. But God, I don't see what's happening. Why is that? You feel what I'm saying. You feel it burning inside of you right now. You know that what I'm saying is right. The Lord is giving a witness right now in the Holy Ghost. You've been disappointed, but He's trying to encourage you right now. The Lord of the harvest is telling us to stretch forth our hands and cast out the bread, and the word shall return, and it's not going to return void. We're going to cast the bread out. It's going to come back. Might take many days. It's going to come back. We talked a little bit about tithing last week. Tithing is an act of faith, not of abundance. We don't give to the Lord because we have to give. We give to the Lord out of both an act of worship and an act of faith. That I believe the promises of God. Let me talk to you just for a few minutes about the blessing of the tithe. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. I talked a little bit about the negative probably last week. I want to talk a little bit about the positive. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Everybody say, prove me. No other scripture. You can't find any other scripture where you can look where God has written and said, prove me. Not one. It's not there. Prove me and see if I will not pour out upon you a blessing. Open the windows of heaven. Excuse me. I will open the windows of, not just one window, as Brother Soon put it several years ago. I never forgot that, Brother Soon. I never thought about that before that time. Maybe 8 or 10 years ago you said that. Not just one window, but many different directions can God take care of us. Amen. You don't believe God can do that? God can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Things have been a little bit tight a little bit lately. Somebody out of the blue comes up to me and appreciates me, not of this church, from someplace else, and puts a check in my pocket for $500. Why does that happen? Because you trust God. Amen. You trust God and you believe the promises of God. He said, I'm not going to open to you the windows of heaven. And I'm going to pour out a window. I'm going to open to you the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke. Here's the great thing. You pay your tithes by faith. He said, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. What does that mean? We live in a time when every job is precious. And you don't know if tomorrow you're going to be downsized. You don't know if tomorrow you're going to be work. It seems like the devil's devouring everything in this land. But my word of God says, I will rebuke the devourer because of you. He shall not destroy. Everybody say, shall not. You know what God means when he says shall not? Ain't going to happen. Not if you pray the right prayer, if you do this, if you do that. He's talking about here, if you do your act of faith and you bring your tithes to the store, it shall not happen. And that means that God is going to take care of his people. Amen? Those that exercise faith and believe the promises of God, he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He shall not destroy your business. He shall not destroy your job. If something happens and your job goes under, you just count on God's got something better for you. Because God will take care of his people. Amen? I've seen that happen in my life. We got evicted from an apartment one time. I thought it was a huge joke. Somebody said that we have people living with us. We had nobody living with us. They took us to court. I stood before the judge. I told him, nobody's living with us. He says, you don't have a lawyer? I said, no. He says, you're evicted. I said, what? I didn't do anything. Little did we know that God had already prepared a place that was much nicer than what we had before. And when we left that place, God prepared a place that was much nicer than we had before. And when we left that place, we live where we live now for the last 15 years. Amen. When you view tithing and offering as an act of faith and not of abundance, because you act on your faith, you can stand on the promises of God. And when faith goes forth, God can't be far behind. He may not make you rich, but he will provide. Amen. Doesn't the scripture say, he says, I've been young and now I've been old, but I have never seen the child of God forsaken. Not only that, I've never seen the seed begging bread. My children are, they don't know this, but my children are blessed because their father and their mother live for God. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the God's honest truth. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28 and 20, and I'm just about done. So, Sister E, wherever you are, there you are. You can come on up, and let's sing. A faithful man shall do what? What's a faithful man going to do? He's going to abound blessing. Now, the key to abounding in blessing is to do what? The key to abounding in blessing is to do what? To be faithful. Be faithful where? Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in the sanctuary. Amen. Be faithful to your pastor. God will bless you for being faithful to your pastor. Don't you think the devil will attack the man of God? He will attack his family and those that will stand. And talk about if the man is doing right now. I'm not talking about if somebody's an adulterer and a robber and a thief. I'm talking about if a man is living, doing what he should do. You stand behind that man of God, God's going to bless you for that. For doing the right thing. Amen. Being faithful with your finances. Sometimes people are disappointed simply because they have not been faithful. And that's not God's fault, is it? David was no stranger to problems and disappointments. I want to open one more scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. If you don't understand the context of that scripture, David was on the run from Saul, and he found these people in Ziklag, and they were all discontent. They were all in debt, but there was about 400 of them. They decided to follow David. They went out, and the Bible says the Philistines came to Ziklag and burned it with fire and took all the men and the woman and the children, or the men were gone, excuse me, the woman and the children. And when they came back and found this thing that had happened, they were going to kill David. So what did David do? You know, God, I've served you so long, I might as well just give up. That's not what David did. The Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Something about me that makes me think. They may not have had the temple back then, but I'm sure David had a sanctuary. David had a place that he could go to find his encouragement. We have that place today. We're in the sanctuary. Let's all stand. My daughter sang that song. I was thinking of it. It was just so much on my heart today. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Would you just bow your head? We're going to sing, and then we're going to maybe sing a few verses out of it. Some of you, disappointments, just like I've got disappointments. What do you do when you got disappointments? Find your way to the sanctuary, and it all becomes a little clearer. I know that if I took a survey today, there quite a few hands would go up in understanding that it's a little bit clearer right now, some of the things that you're going through. God has given you some clarity, and you're seeing some things. What do you do when the clarity fades? Get in the house of the Lord. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful, fast, and pray. Fight the devil, amen. Come on, let's sing it. Oh, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Savior. Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove. David could have said, Lord, I before he went to Goliath, he said, I went to a bear and I went to a lion in a den on a snowy day, God, and you delivered me. I know that you've done it before, God. I know that you can do it again. Hallelujah.
Worship God. Devil can't stand it when you got clarity.
He wants wants you to be down. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to give up. You might as well give up on God. He's never going to come through. But you know what? Like David said, he said, I went to the sanctuary. And then all of a sudden, God opened up some discernment. God opened up some things that I never saw before. God is opening some stuff right now for some folks today. You're seeing some things.
What must I do to be saved?
Well, before I get into the direct answer, I'm going to assume you believe the Bible.
Right.
If somebody doesn't believe the Bible, I start with experience.
Totally different issue.
Well, all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us are separated from God by our sin. And we see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the way that we're saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I need to add from the outset is, in the scriptural sense, and certainly when you're talking about salvation, believing is more than mental understanding, mental agreement, or verbal profession. It actually includes obedience to what you profess. And we see this in Romans. Romans 1:5 speaks of the obedience of faith. So the very book and the very inspired author who speaks perhaps more than any other about salvation by faith tells us what kind of faith he's talking about. It's faith that produces obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. If you truly believe God, you'll believe His Word. If you truly believe His Word, you'll act upon His Word. If I yell out, the building is on fire, if you really believe that, you're not going to just sit there and tell me, oh, thank you for that bit of information, I acknowledge it and I profess it. No, you're going to act on it. You're going to run out of the building. And if you do, we could say that I saved you. Or we could say that you're saved because you believe me. Or we could say you're saved because you acted on what you believe. And that's why Romans 6:17, Paul says that you used to be the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered to you. So the same author that says you're saved by believing the gospel also says you're saved by obeying the doctrine. Those are not two different things. It's the same thing. Now, let me fast forward. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received this wonderful experience. Peter preached to them, to the thousands of believers that gathered. And he preached, if you study it, he preached simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2. That is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again to provide victory. So we must believe that gospel, or as I've just explained, we must somehow obey that gospel. Believe it to the point that we act upon it, we apply it to our lives. How do we do that? We find the answer in Acts 2. Peter preached the simple message that Jesus died, but His body did not decay in the tomb. He was raised on the third day. And then the people cried out, "What shall we do?" And He said, "Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:38. When we repent, we're dying to the old life. We identify with Christ's death. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, it's a burial with Christ. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the resurrection of life of Christ. So when we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, and we receive the experience that Peter commanded in Acts chapter 2.
So when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, as is commonly expressed, or
yes,
is expressed in some settings, it's more than just "I believe."
Right.
And it being a mental assent, but it's a behavior, it's action taken.
Yes. In Acts, in Romans 10, which you're referring to, if you read that context, Paul was explaining why the Jewish people as a whole are not saved. And he said it's because they've not believed the message of Christ. And then so he explains the basis of salvation, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him. Now, he wasn't explaining to a sinner what to do at the altar. He was writing to the church,
right,
explaining why aren't the Jews receiving the promises of God? Because their foundation is off. They won't confess Christ. Now, if they will confess Jesus and believe that He rose from the dead, then they could be saved. But of course, his audience knows, well, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you're obeying Him as your Lord. If you believe that He was raised from the dead, that means you'll receive the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. So he didn't have to fill in the blanks for his audience. They had already experienced that.
He was writing to the church.
Yes, and he was explaining the foundation. You've got to get your foundation right, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't deny, we need to emphasize, salvation is by the grace of God. That means it's a gift of God. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith.
I hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. God is real, He cares for you, and has a deeper walk for you in the Spirit. Feel free to be our guest this Sunday at the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block behind Town Hall. Sunday Bible class starts at 12:30, and our worship celebration starts promptly at 1 o'clock. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. I trust that you have been both fed and blessed today from God's Word through Free Food for the Soul.